following is a paid program. The opinions contained within do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or sponsors of News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
Inside the Law is presented to educate listeners in Monmouth and Ocean counties about legal issues. The opinions expressed by the host, guests, and phone callers are strictly their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Town Square Media and are not intended to be a substitute for personal legal advice from your own attorney.
Your questions and comments are welcome at 732-505-1160. Inside the Law, talk radio for the Jersey Shore.
Good morning, Monmouth and Ocean counties, and good morning to the rest of the world who's listening out there on the Internet. This is attorney Jason Wyatt from the law firm Novi & Associates, and you're listening to Inside the Law on 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and on 1310 AM in Monmouth County. You know our format. Every week, we from Novi & Associates take you inside the law to learn about an issue or topic of interest in today's world within the world of the law, so to speak. Novi & Associates, of course, is a boutique law firm here in Monmouth and Ocean County, and we specialize in elder law, trust and estate planning, Medicaid planning, and guardianships. Part of that practice is always revolve around what are to whom and to certain entities that our clients like to leave assets or make bequests to, and those aren't always kids. Those aren't always family members. They sometimes involve the nonprofit world. And so today I'm very happy to have as a guest Mr. Robert Wallers. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Robert is the Senior Director of Development and Gift Planning at Meridian Health Affiliated Foundations and has extensive experience in the area. I'm going to run through his very impressive resume here. He's been in the nonprofit sector for 21 years. Is that right, Robert?
That is correct.
Okay. And before that, he has a background as a financial planner, which is obviously very valuable if you're in the nonprofit world. Currently also serves as an adjunct professor at Columbia University in their Master's in Fundraising Management program. And we won't hold the fact that he's a Columbia professor against him, despite my Cornell background. We will thank Columbia for allowing Cornell to win last week in a football game so as not to go winless for the year. That program, despite not being at Cornell and being at Columbia, is a top five program in the country. Extremely impressive, Robert.
Thank you. And that's correct.
Robert's also the author of three books, all focusing on different areas within the nonprofit world. And we're going to talk about at least one or two of those during today's show. So that's a little bit of background on Robert. We want to know, Robert, a little bit about what you do. But let's start with Meridian Health. And I know that there's an anniversary coming up for Meridian. Tell us a little bit about that anniversary and what you've been doing with them and your involvement, how long you've been there and so forth.
Great. Well, in fact, come February, I will have been with them for 5 years. Okay. I've been fortunate to work for my home health system. It's where my two children were born. It's certainly been an important part of my life, and I've gotten to know all the great things that they do around Monmouth and Ocean County at the Jersey Shore.
That's terrific. The you know, obviously this is a Monmouth and Ocean County centric show. That's where we broadcast. So I think it's very, you know, today's topic, which is charitable giving and the, you know, a role that Meridian Health plays in that world and in these geographic areas is something important to talk about. So I want to remind all of our listeners out here in Monmouth and Ocean County that if you have a question today for me or for Robert related to charitable giving or even unrelated, but something that's pertinent, give us a call at 732-505-1160. That's the number here in the studio, 732-505-1160. We understand, though, that there are people out there who are reluctant to call in. We understand that it can be a little bit, I guess, the bashfulness is not dead. If you wanted to reach us during the week, you can also do that at Novi & Associates at 732-657-0600. Again, that's 732-657-0600. Robert, if somebody had a question for you or something particular to Meridian Health that they wanted to discuss with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you during the week?
Actually, they can reach me on my phone at 732-751-5118.
So don't hesitate to use those numbers. I'm going to give more information for how to get in touch with us during the week later in the show. Of course, our website, www.novilaw.com, is always a great resource. After today's show, we will post the full show on the website. So if anybody wants to re-listen, or if you hear the show and you want your neighbor or your son or your sister to give it a listen, you can always forward them that website address, and they can listen to it at their leisure. So we have a little bit of background then in what you do, Robert, and how long you've been with Meridian. What's your day-to-day responsibility like with Meridian? What it is, you know, it's a senior director of development and gift planning for the layperson out there. Mm-hmm. What do you do day-to-day for the affiliated foundations?
Well, my biggest area of responsibility as it relates to this program is in gift planning. I have the good fortune to work with all six of our hospitals across Monmouth and Ocean County, helping donors to figure out the best way for them to make their gifts to their favorite charity. In our case, it's one of our hospitals. I also have been fortunate to oversee the foundation as the executive director at Jersey Shore University Medical Center for their foundation, which also covers the Kay Evanani and Children's Hospital. Okay. And, you know, in that way, it's been exciting to be a part of one of our hospitals. It's really the flagship hospital for Meridian. And they've just done some wonderful things as the regional trauma center. It offers wonderful programs for kids and cardiac surgery, oncology. There's just some tremendous service lines. And we've been, you know, serving Monmouth and Ocean County for more than 100 years at Jersey Shore University Medical Center.
I think something that the audience would be interested in, because I get the question a lot in my office, is they know Meridian, obviously. It's mm-hmm. very well-known, respected, high-quality healthcare brand in the regional area. But they sometimes get a little bit confused about which hospitals are associated with Meridian.
Sure.
And there's also been some change in that, especially over the last decade.
Yes.
So in terms of our listening audience in Monmouth and Ocean County, and maybe a little broader in New Jersey, can you run through the hospitals besides Jersey Shore that
sure.
are under the Meridian umbrella?
Happy to. The Meridian Health System was formed with three original hospitals, which was Riverview Medical Center in Red Bank, mm-hmm. Jersey Shore University Medical Center in Neptune, New Jersey, mm-hmm. and then the Ocean Medical Center in Brick, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Then a few years ago, they acquired both Southern Ocean Medical Center down in Manahawkin mm-hmm. and Bayshore Community Hospital to the north. And then we also have the distinction through a wonderful gift from the Hovnanian family to also have the Kay Hovnanian Children's Hospital on the same campus in Neptune as Jersey Shore University Medical Center.
A terrific hospital, very popular amongst my clients as a partial beneficiary to an estate because of the work they've done within families and for
yes.
the broader community. And tell me a little bit about how the foundation exists, or the foundations exist mm-hmm. in the overall umbrella of the company.
Sure.
You know, what services do they provide? I know how valuable it is because you and I have mm-hmm. talked about it. But mm-hmm. the general public might say, well, aren't hospital systems generally for-profit? What's the nonprofit mm-hmm. component look like? Give us an idea of what you guys do, and I know how important it is to the existence of the hospitals overall.
Definitely, Jason, and it's a great question because most folks are thinking that, gosh, I pay for my health insurance. The health insurance covers all of my care. In fact, that's a portion of the care is covered through insurance. We have been a nonprofit system for a number of years.
Right.
And in fact, in that way, we rely on the gifts of grateful patients and their families who really appreciate the care that our team has provided, the number of people that have been helped. Nobody wakes up expecting to go to the emergency department.
Right.
And, you know, God forbid there's an accident on the highway and they have to be airlifted into our trauma center. I mean, that's a life-altering event, and we've been able to help some families throughout the Shore area, some even who just visited the Shore, find themselves at our hospitals, and, you know, we're able to do some great work. We have, in fact, a foundation affiliated with each of our hospitals, so
right.
a little different model than some across the country where they might have one foundation for the whole system. We, in fact, have one affiliated with each hospital. It allows us to be very donor-centered, which is a great thing for us to do, because mm-hmm. then the grateful patient, their family that has an interest in making a gift, can be very specific with where they'd like that gift to go. It could be right to the department where their physician that they beloved has done something for them that's helped them in their life. It could be generally to the hospital, but we certainly offer many different ways for people to be generous.
Which I think is something great about Meridian specifically, because it allows somebody to think of a lot of my clients think of whichever hospital, Ocean Medical Center and Brick as their hospital. Mm-hmm. That's my hospital.
Right.
Just like, Monmouth University is their, or Rutgers is their college. Mm-hmm. The same kind of, emotional tie. And then when they, have what's usually some sort of trauma in their life, some sort of medical emergency or medical issue, and they feel well taken care of, and they feel grateful for the care they receive from the staff, from the doctors, from everybody organizationally down to, the day-to-day intake, it's nice for them to know that whatever they choose to do philanthropically or in terms of a gift, they can designate right to that hospital. Whereas if you go other places in the country, they might worry, well, how restricted do I have to make this gift in order to know that it's going to stay at least under the roof of my hospital and not the hospital on the other side of the county or the other side of the state or maybe even the other side of the country? Mm-hmm. So I like to point that out because I think it's something great that Robert's organization, Meridian, does to allow you to be kind of specific in terms of, well, which hospital within the system did I really appreciate? And sometimes it's more than one. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people get, depending on what they need, their local hospital, and then they're referred to mm-hmm. one of the other campuses based on a specialty. I know the different campuses, the Children's Hospital is a great example, that different campuses might have facilities that, belie a specialty. So, I think that that's a great structure, so I wanted to bring that up. In terms of being a director, senior director of gift planning, Robert, what is your role when you talk to people like me, a trust and estate or elder mm-hmm. law attorney or Bob Novy, who's, the founder of our firm and the original host of Inside the Law? How do you meet people like us? I guess maybe how did you meet Bob, and what's your role with planners, whether they're attorneys or financial advisors and so forth? Give me a little bit of that kind of component of your day-to-day work.
Sure. In fact, I had the opportunity to meet Bob back in the early 90s. I think it was 93 when I was working for the Boy Scouts. I had a chance to work with the Boy Scouts for 10 years here at the Jersey Shore. And Bob was one of those interested advisors who said, hey, I want to give back to our community. I want to help our community. And, you embrace advisors like that. They care more about their community and what they're doing. Their clients reap the benefits of their involvement in many different aspects, and all those different layers lend themselves to really relating more to their clients' wishes. So a great thing to know that. When I had a chance to work for the American Cancer Society here in New Jersey and part of the Eastern Division, they had developed a national professional advisor network. So actually, as part of my practice, I made it a point to get out and meet advisors. Over a nearly seven-year period, I met with 563 advisors in New Jersey and New York City, and had an opportunity to really get to know how their practices were. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, attorneys such as yourself, CPAs, financial mm-hmm. planners, trust officers, funeral directors, real estate brokers. There's a number of different advisors that have an impact on our donors and sure. your clients. And it's important that we consider their role in the process. So I made it a point to basically spend about a third of my time working with advisors, because I knew that they had a tremendous impact on the outcomes that they could help their clients with. And in fact, research has shown that most folks hear about the idea of making a gift to mm-hmm. their favorite charity in their will through their advisor. Most folks hear about the idea of a trust mm-hmm. from their advisor. So for me to provide them with information was a really helpful thing, and it ended up being a big part of what I was able to do to represent the Cancer Society at that point. And now I've continued on with that. We actually have a Meridian Professional Advisor Network, and we have over 100 advisors around Monmouth and Ocean County that have said, hey, I want to be a part of what you're doing across Meridian Health. I have a experience from one of your hospitals. It's been valuable to me and my family. I would like to also be involved with what you're doing to reach out to donors and to share some of this great information with my own clients. So it's been a good process over the time.
And I can give an endorsement to that process, because I've learned a lot from Robert, and not every nonprofit like Meridian does what Robert and Meridian do, which is to educate, to meet with, to learn from, their advisors network. Because if we're the frontline advisors, talking to our clients about their options, it's hard to discuss options if we don't know what they are. If I don't know that, Meridian has separate foundations for each hospital, I can't share that with my clients when I start to talk about, well, are you charitably inclined at all? And they say, yeah. And they say, but I don't really know what that means. And, we'll go through and I can list, prototypical types of things that people like to give to. Their alma mater is a specific research cause, but also a local hospital. And I can advertise, especially in Monmouth and Ocean County for Meridian, at least, that they have foundations for each particular hospital. So that educational component, I can tell you guys as listeners out there, helps, so that when you sit down with me as your attorney writing your will or talking about a trust or what have you, we can be educated mm-hmm. in that area. So it's one thing that certainly Meridian can advertise that they do as a benefit to the broader community, but certainly to the community of advisors. And then we can in turn brag to our clients and our audience out there that not all advisors are up to snuff. They don't all have access to somebody like Robert to talk to them about the details of the nonprofit, how they're being managed, the exciting things that are happening in terms of new facilities and so forth in the healthcare world. So in any event, it keeps us up to date to have a go-to person like Robert, and I think that's a great way to structure it.
If I may, too, sure. On that point, Jason, I have made it a point in the last 21 years of my practice to make myself available to advisors. So, mm-hmm. If an advisor needs to ask about something related to charitable gift planning, in fact, we're interested in helping them with answers they might be posed with. So I have often said, hey, if you get a call from one of your clients and you have a question, you can give me a call within 24 hours. I will get back to you with an answer if I don't have the answer right away. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I offer is a free proposal service. So no matter which organization the client might be interested in helping, mm-hmm. They can, in fact, call upon us to help them structure some different concepts. And I found, it's always come back to us in a great way that they remember us in other ways. And it might not be that client that would give to one of the hospitals, but it would be something that could be really exciting for down the road.
Right.
Also want to point out another thing, and that is that most folks in their will choose to give to three or four organizations. It's usually, as you said, their college or university, their alma mater. It can be their religious affiliation, mm-hmm. their church yep. or synagogue, and then health and human services, of which, the health portion is a big part of sure. what people are concerned about, having health care available to them in their community. So yep. we certainly fill one of those needs, and
absolutely.
It's often that's the case.
And I can just vouch for what a great resource Robert is. Not only does he get back within 24 hours, usually much less than that, usually the same day, but also just to have the books, I've referred to them fairly often, to answer client questions. Lauren, I think we have our first caller of the day. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Do you have a question for us this morning?
I did. I had a question for Robert, and I don't think it was answered, but I know on the giving end, as far as the service for hospitals where you might want to give back, my husband has been an employee, Meridian, for like 25 years, and they're just an excellent business. And we wanted to We were thinking about donating, but I just wondered how to even get started, if it would just be to call Robert directly, or I know you said for each individual facility you had a department for giving. So would it be call the hospital? Would it be to call Robert? That's really all I wanted to know.
Thank you, Carolyn. Certainly we appreciate your husband's service to Meridian all those many years. That's what makes us great, to have a wonderful group of team members, about 8,000 strong, as I understand it. You're welcome. In fact, we're happy to help in any way. So if I'm the point of contact and I'm not the person that represents the hospital you and your husband are interested in giving to, I'd be happy to refer you to one of my colleagues. So feel free to call me at 732-751-5118, and I'd be happy to refer you. We all work together as a team. If it is something related to gift planning, I'm usually brought in to assist. So I might end up being the one involved in that process. We have a number of team members who give annually through our team member annual fund, which is a great way that we can brag about how even our employees care about what's happening in our health system by their giving. And in fact, there's also a number of our employees that have included us in their will or in their estate plan or even listed us as a beneficiary for their retirement planning. So it's a great thing that you're thinking that way. We certainly appreciate it. And like yourselves, my wife and I had just made a gift earlier this year pledging to the Kevnanian Children's Hospital because they had helped my son with a cancer surgery, which was very concerning to us. So you can imagine our interest in giving back to, you know, an organization that's helped us personally. So that's indeed something I share your interest in, and I applaud that you're thinking that way. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Carolyn. Have a great day.
You're welcome. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
So, you know, that's a good example of a question I wanted to ask you, Robert, which is where do your donors come from? Where do your hospital, you know, the nonprofit supporters come from? Obviously, one spot might be employees like that who know what the organization is all about and want to give back. Mm-hmm. Another is obviously people who have direct contact, like a parent who's had a child treated at Kevnanian. But give me a kind of idea of some typical characteristics of a donor to Meridian, or really to any nonprofit. I mean, I guess there's probably some that are specific to, you know, a healthcare nonprofit. But just in the nonprofit sector, how do you guys spot potential donors? And if there might be potential donors out there who don't realize that they're potential donors, how do they spot themselves, I guess, is part of the question.
Sure. It's interesting that I think I can boil that down to, you know, basically a single phrase as to why people become donors. And it usually centers around their caring for people. You know, if in fact somebody had an experience as a student at a school, a college, a university, they came through that experience and, you know, they look back fondly upon that and they say, you know, I had a great experience as a student. I want to give back. Even a place like Cornell might get a few supporters because of what they've done. Yes. But that experience lends itself to thinking and reflecting upon what has happened and saying, you know, I'd like to give back to other students that are maybe coming through a similar circumstance. Mm-hmm. And then in healthcare, with what we're all about, the grateful patient experience is very strong for patients and their families who have had a challenge in their life with their health. And they say, gosh, I need to turn somewhere to get that health. And it could be the physician that provided the surgery or the care. It could be the nurse that was there with them, you know, 24/7 through the process. It could be in a sad scenario, the hospice nurse that was there at the end of life to help the family through something that's just incredibly trying and meaningful. All of those different experiences lend themselves to people reflecting and saying, gosh, you know, I'd like to give back and repay some of that goodwill that was given to me. And, you know, it really comes from people that care about other people.
And it's, I think that's a good way to boil it down, because if you think about any of the prototypical nonprofits that my clients are inclined to include in their plans, whether it's, like you said, healthcare or human services, whether it's education or whether it's, their place of worship. You see a common thread, which you've mentioned, which is that, you know, they made use of those services at some point. They went to that college. Somebody in their family benefited from the services provided at the hospital, or the religious institution or church or synagogue gave them support throughout their life, and they enjoyed what they had. And then as long as they're educated, they understand that those experiences would not have existed but for the support of donors and the gift and philanthropically inclined people, because despite the fact that Meridian is a well-established, long-standing organization, some people might think of it as a wealthy or whatever, a big company. It must have a lot of money. They think the same things about a Cornell or a Columbia. You know, mm-hmm. They have these huge endowments, but people don't realize that what they pay for healthcare only goes so far to covering the cost of the healthcare. What they pay for tuition only goes so far to what is actually provided by the higher education institution in terms of the education. That even at religious institutions, what you put in the collection or what you donate per year only goes so far to cover with the services that are provided by the religious institution. And so there's that common thread throughout. They care for the people who are maybe coming behind them or after them and hoping that they receive the same support from that nonprofit that they receive themselves. So I want to emphasize that important concept, because a lot of people out there sit back. A lot of my clients, when I mention it for the first time, they say, you know, that's true. I never thought about the gap, but I did always have this fond opinion of, you know, the fact that when my husband was dying, that hospice, care facility was so valuable to the family, or that when I was, 18 years old and a scared kid going off to school for the first time, that this school really made me feel like I was part of a family. And so that's the philanthropic inclination a lot of people don't even realize they have. And we don't have to be talking about $1 million for you to express that notion. And I think that's something I like to point out to my clients. You don't have to be Michael Bloomberg or Bill Gates to be philanthropically inclined.
That's very true. Many of our donors are giving $20, $50, $100. And it should be empowering for them that every one of those gifts matters to us. Meridian Health Affiliated Foundations really cares about that pool of donors that annually considers us an important part of their life. And, you know, they could give a small amount now, but then as they, travel through life and then they consider what they might do with you with a will, mm-hmm. When they think of us in their will, that's really the ultimate gift. That's really a tremendous compliment to what we've provided for them when they consider us in that way. I could share with you, too, another personal note. As an Eagle Scout, I mentioned earlier I worked for the Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. It meant a lot to me to give back to that organization because of the experience I had. And now my son is a scout in the local community, and, we get to do some wonderful things. We just did Scouting for Food, where we were collecting bags of food from folks that had an opportunity to give to others, and then you give that back to the food pantries in the local area to help things. There's a number of ways people can help their community, and certainly healthcare provides that comfort that we've got a place that will assist. God forbid something happens. We're very proud of the fact just 2 years ago with Hurricane Sandy that mm-hmm. we were the only light on Route 33 for a couple of weeks as the power was out. And Jersey Shore University Medical Center provided the care for so many in the community. Things that folks take for granted. Without power, there wasn't the, opportunity for people to get their dialysis, to have their oxygen, to do all those things that would help them to just, live comfortably. And we provide a lot of those services. Ocean Medical Center provided some tremendous support there along, Point Pleasant, Bayhead, Manaloking, certainly some of the hardest hit areas. And, we're very proud to be there for our community. Meridian made some tremendous donations to help a few other local organizations during that time as well. And they also provided some tremendous support for our employees that were, affected in a big way.
Powerful stuff, absolutely. And you see the benefit that philanthropic and charitably inclined dollars provide, especially in a time of trauma like that. Mm-hmm. You see it every day, right. You know, but certainly when you have a localized tragedy like we had that basically impacted exactly Meridian's footprint geographically, you see how powerful, how far those dollars can go and why it's important if you have any sort of inclination to discuss that concept with an advisor or directly with a nonprofit through somebody like Robert. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to host attorney Jason Wyatt from the law firm Novi & Associates on today's live broadcast of Inside the Law here on 1160 WOBM AM and on 1310 AM in Monmouth County. Today's topic is charitable giving, and we're lucky to have with us Senior Director of Development and Gift Planning, Mr. Robert Wallers. Should you have any questions for us during the show, the number is 732-505-1160. We've got about a little bit under a half hour left in our show, so don't hesitate to call in. If you don't want to call in, there's a couple of ways to reach us during the week. We gave our phone numbers. Novi & Associates is 732-657-0600. Robert, your number during the week again is?
732-751-5118, and my assistant is Linda.
Linda. So feel free to give us a ring. There's also a couple of other ways. We, of course, have an email address at Novi & Associates. It's very simply info@novilaw.com. Lots and lots of information posted on our website at novilaw.com, www.novilaw.com. That's N-O-V-Y, like Yankees, L-A-W.com. So get in touch with us if you have any questions that we didn't answer on air. If you have any questions that you want answered on a future show, we also encourage people to get in touch with those. If you give us a good one, and we read it on air, we'll send you a gift certificate to a local restaurant for $50 so you can have dinner on us as a thank you. Because we want to know what topics and what questions are, interesting to our listening audience so that we can have timely and important discussions about, topics of interest. And I would certainly say that today's topic is of interest. We're going to talk about a little later in the show what the end of year means for people who are philanthropically inclined, as well as for nonprofits like the Meridian Affiliated Foundations. But before we get to that, I just want to pause because I mentioned in the intro, Robert, that you're the author of three
yes.
books in the nonprofit arena. And I know that you wrote, is it the most recent one was in 2012, or that's the second most recent
That
one?
Was the first book.
That was the first one, okay.
Yes,
okay.
We actually have two that are close to being published, so
okay.
they'll be out
okay.
very shortly, but we've finished them, so I would, certainly consider them in the past now.
Sure, of course.
In 2012, Wiley published our first book, The mm-hmm. Philanthropic Planning Companion,
okay.
Which actually was given the award by AFP Skystone Partners for 2013 as the best book of 2013 in the fundraising sector. So we're really proud of that.
You should be.
Yeah, it's a neat book. It was the first book out on the topic of philanthropic planning, mm-hmm. which is really a deeper dive into how you could assist a donor working with advisors, looking at the legacy they want to leave, mm-hmm. speaking with their family, really involving the entire family in the process. And we, along with my co-author, Brian Sagristano, who was the head of gift planning at the University of Pennsylvania, he is now the CEO and founder of Gift Planning Development, and he and I have maintained a great relationship over the years and have been able to collaborate not only on that book and the two books subsequent to it, but then we've also had a number of articles that have appeared in Advancing Philanthropy, the Nonprofit Times, a number of different locations.
Okay. And you're happy working with him, even though he is at UPenn tie and you're a Columbia guy.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I'm happy to be an adjunct professor at Columbia. I don't follow their football team.
That's good.
It's certainly my emphasis and my attention's on other things.
I gotcha. More important things, I would
exactly.
say. Although I will give a plug that the ESPN College Game Day show is at the Harvard-Yale game today for the first time ever. So it's all coming up Ivy League football today. You mentioned that it's a deeper dive into philanthropic planning, and I don't think that a lot of our audience probably knows or has the greatest idea of what the difference is between you know, somebody, you know, traditional charitable gift planning versus deeper philanthropic planning. Give me an idea of what that means and maybe even some of the different tools that are used for each with a focus on what you think is most useful for our listening audience.
Certainly. It used to be the term was planned giving.
Right.
And it was common that a charity would try to sell their donors on different things that could help them. It was always an approach that was all about the charity.
Right.
And about a decade, maybe a little bit more ago, the idea of charitable gift planning came into the forefront where the focus switched from the charity to the donor.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was very important that we made that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And the research that Brian and I did in our book, we spoke about the changing generational cohorts. And without getting too deep into that, it's important to understand that folks that were born prior to 1946, the Depression-era folks, the World War II generation, and the like, they trusted charities, and in fact, they were happy to make unrestricted gifts, expecting that the charity would do the right thing with their money. From 1946 to the present, the donors that have been born since then, which is our leading baby boomers, the trailing baby boomers, and you know the other generation since, they have been less trusting of charities. They want to give in a restricted way.
Mm-hmm.
They very much care about accountability, verifiability. They want to know that their investment in a charity leads to great outcomes.
Right.
So they want to see the annual report. They want to get involved as a volunteer and get to see the fruits of their labor with their giving. So it's something that charitable gift planning needs to be donor-centered. We need to focus on what the donor's interests are because that's what today's donors are more interested in. The younger donors of today are more interested in. The idea of philanthropic planning is really a subset of charitable gift planning in that it's for the wealthier donor
mm-hmm.
that has the assets that can do things beyond, you know, a annual gift or a major gift. They could truly make a transformational gift, the gift that might allow an organization who maybe served one town to then serve a whole county.
Right.
That could allow an organization that maybe dealt with one social issue to really deal with multiple issues that relate to that issue and can really do something to change how the organization would do work. But that doesn't come lightly. I mean, if somebody, if a couple is interested in making that kind of gift, it needs to have all the planning and all the involvement of not only themselves, but their children and their grandchildren. It needs to look at all of their priorities, and it needs to involve their advisors around the table so that the discussion can be, you know, really wholesome and can take into account all those different factors. It is probably for, you know, that top 10% of the donors to charity to really sit down and get into those details.
And I think it's an important distinction to make because I find with a lot of clients that they feel they think of charitable giving and gift planning and charities in general. They think of the philanthropic aspect of it because the very famous examples of philanthropy, of gift planning are in the philanthropic arena. They come from the richest of the rich,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the Gates Foundation or you know, now it's going to be Zuckerberg probably for the next generation. When the large donors make waves with some sort of bequest, like Mark Zuckerberg did in Newark with the school system, you know, that's what people sometimes have in the back of their mind when they think of supporting a nonprofit. But like you said, that large philanthropic component is only a subset of the total broad range of charitable gift, charitable planning, what people can do. You know, and I know that on a smaller level, which in some ways is more important because there's only one or two Mark Zuckerbergs per generation, but there
Correct.
are millions of other people who are in a position to be charitably inclined without having to be multimillionaires to do so. And that's what I want to focus on, the charitable gift planning tools that are available to those type of people. You know, I know a lot of my clients, even some of the ones that are pre-1946 that are still Depression-era mentality, you know, they have that same worry when it comes to, well, if charitable gift planning is something I can do and I'm not, you know, Bill Gates, I don't have money to play with. I want to make sure that if I am charitably inclined, it's used well. You know, they use GuideStar and they use things like that. They want I guess that's a whole industry now talking about, you know, what percentage of your donated dollars go towards what you want them to go towards and things like that. And you saw that a lot this summer with the ice bucket challenge, you know, a lot of misinformation out there about what things are used for. What are some of the gift planning tools that are available to our listening audience? And I want to, before you answer, I want to focus on something that I always point out to my clients when I mention if they're charitably inclined, is a lot of people already write a lot of checks year to year. They do a lot of annual giving, okay, which is one type of charitable gift. And a lot of people, especially retirees, are on a fixed income. They only have so much discretionary income as it is. And if they're already writing a number of checks to their favorite nonprofits, a lot of times they say, Jason, I am charitably inclined, but I'm maxed out. I can't write another check. And so I don't want to talk about that as a tool. Everybody can envision just writing a check to Audubon Society, to your church, to, you know, one of the hospital foundations. I want to talk about the planning tools that might be available through an advisor, the kind of stuff that you, the more upper level stuff that you advise on, Robert, without it being a huge philanthropic, you know, multimillionaire type of gift. Give me some examples of your process.
Sure. Well, certainly with my background in financial estate planning, a lot of our approach is around planning. So we really like to discuss with the donor where their interests might be. And then we try to match a product or a tool that makes sense for what they are interested in doing. You mentioned the annual giving, so we won't repeat that, but many folks who are on the fixed income are interested in something that would allow them to continue to maintain their lifestyle and then perhaps leave a gift later. So something called a charitable gift annuity is a wonderful way for people to make a gift now, get in some cases, an increased income because of the rate of return that the gift annuity offers.
Because it has that word annuity in there, so there's money coming back to you.
Correct. And then, basically, they're choosing to leave that money to their favorite charity. So it allows them to make the gift today that they would have left in their will and then get a benefit for themselves in the near term in the form of an increased income. It's based on age. The American Council on Gift Annuities sets the rate. So unlike insurance annuities where each, you know, insurance company has a different rate and you got to shop around and find the best one.
Right.
Truly our listening audience can consider their favorite charity, and the major charities offer gift annuities and we all abide to follow those rates. So someone I know, one woman we just sat down with who's more than 90 years of age, she is able to get a 9% rate of return on her gift annuity. Folks that are a bit younger might be in a 5 or 6% range, but it's based on age, and it gives them a chance to make their gift. And then perhaps if they were counting on certificates of deposit at the bank, I mean, if you look at those, they're less than 1% are difficult. That used to be a neat strategy to kind of ladder your CDs so that you would always have one that was doing a little better than the other, and now we've gone through a period of time where that's just not a viable alternative. This gives the retired donor a chance to make the gift and perhaps even increase their income if they're in a circumstance. We also have the opportunity to look at IRAs. Somebody that is 70 and a half or older has to take that required minimum distribution from the IRA. In the past number of years, Congress has allowed for the IRA charitable rollover. We're actually paying attention to that. They have yet to put that into law for 2014.
But I understand it's on the table.
Exactly.
And there's even a possibility that it might be made permanent.
Exactly. Yeah. There is a bill that was before the House that was passed that we're now waiting for the Senate to speak about. I think in this period of time, as Congress is meeting, they might either pass that bill or create a brand new one. And in fact, it's something that has been very helpful for donors, because instead of having to take that money from their IRA as ordinary income,
right,
they can actually use that for their donation, and in some cases can do very well to, you know, help out their favorite charity and avoid tax that they would have taken.
Right, and if you're charitably inclined anyway, the bequest becomes bigger because mm-hmm. it's being made with before tax dollars. Charity benefits from it, and if it's between, you know, 40 cents on the dollar going to the IRS and 60 cents on the dollar going to you, or 100 cents on the dollar going to your favorite charity, it's a no-brainer,
right,
for people who have that inclination. And I do hope that Congress does make that a permanent extension, because IRAs, you know, and retirement plans in general have replaced, you know, pensions over the last 50 years by and large. And so you're going to see a lot of people passing away or even entering retirement with IRAs that are big enough that they don't want to touch them. They don't have to touch them. Or if they have to touch them at 70 and a half, maybe they think about doing it in a charitable sort of way. So those are a couple of tools there that Robert talked about. You know, one I love is a charitable remainder trust, which is kind of like an individualized version of the annuity that Robert just talked about, but where you can have a little bit more control to a certain degree of it. But they're all ways of doing something now mm-hmm. Instead of later, but that can have an advantage to the donor as well, where the annual gift might not be quite as powerful to them in terms of deduction, in terms of the taxation aspects of it. So I encourage you, it's beyond our scope today to go into all the tax aspects, but I do encourage you to talk to your accountant about mm-hmm. those sorts of things. I encourage you to talk to me or any other attorney who specializes in this area. Any financial advisor worth their salt will be conversant in these subjects. So between that, those lists of advisors, whether you have them in place or you need to seek them out, absolutely, I think that it's something that everybody should think about, knowing that there is a range of options between the annual gifting checks you write and just including a charity in your will as a beneficiary. You know, I do want to talk about that briefly, because not enough people realize it's an option. Mm-hmm. I often discuss with my clients, I call it the easy 1% or the easy 5%. You know, inheritances to beneficiaries, to the kids or the grandkids or whoever's getting it, a lot of times are found money. You know, mm-hmm. it's not always something they're counting on, right, especially in today's environment of parents living longer and longer and longer. A lot of kids are smart to take the position that they can't count on any inheritance. Their parents may very well live to be 105 and need to spend what they've saved. I mean, you save for retirement so that if you have to spend it, it's there. And so that found money is not something that, you know, anybody has a right to. When it is found money and you're splitting it between a number of beneficiaries, I talk to my clients and say the easiest example is just easy by math, the virtue of mathematics, and that's why I call it the easy 1%. And I know I'm preaching to the choir with Robert on this, but if you have three kids and you're splitting your estate 33% each, you have 1% left over. Why not consider one or two of your favorite, you know, nonprofits for that 1%? That 1% might seem meaningless to you. The kids are probably not going to miss it. They just inherited 33% of the estate that they probably weren't counting on anyway. Mm-hmm. But that 1%, whether, you know, it's 1% of 500,000, 1% of a quarter million, 1% of 2 million, they're actually pretty big dollars. So if you carry that through, think of a nice size estate like a $2 million estate, where 1% is $20,000. A lot of my clients worth $2 million are never going to sit down in any given year and write a $20,000 check. They just can't afford it as a retiree. But if their kids are inheriting close to $2 million, that $20,000 bequest as part of the estate becomes very easy to make. And I know from talking to you, Robert, that that's a very meaningful gift to any nonprofit. A five-digit bequest as part of an estate, and it doesn't matter if it's 1% or 10% or 5% or 30% or 100%. You know, those are very meaningful gifts. They're very simple to make. But putting that aside, I think it was important that we focused on some of the other mm-hmm. Planning tools that people have available. And if you're, you know, one thing that might catch the eye of our listening audience is they hear something like a 9% annuity, and they might think of that as mm-hmm. as both intriguing, but also have some skepticism about.
Sure.
They exist. Mm-hmm. I'm being, you know, these are two professionals telling you that these mm-hmm. are real rates of return that you can get back to support. Not rates of return, but these are real amounts that on an annuity that you're not going to find mm-hmm. in the private market. You're not going to find in the for-profit annuity market. And part of that has to do with the way that nonprofits are taxed and the way that they can make distributions back as annuity payments. But seek out good information, because it may actually benefit not only the nonprofit in the long run, but also you as the donor.
I can add too, Jason, mm-hmm. if folks would like to look into some more of these tools and options, we have a website that offers a lot of information, mhaflegacy.org. So Meridian Health Affiliated Foundation Legacy.org. So that's mhaflegacy.org. So a place for them to go. They can take a look around, read about some information, an opportunity for them to understand more some of the different tools. And again, in the planning process, it's important that we look at what the donor's goals and priorities are, and we consider what those are so that we can try to help them, to guide them to something that makes sense based on what they're saying. A friend of mine talks about having plans that are simple and elegant. And in fact, it's important that we have an opportunity to keep the simplicity in mind, because usually the simplicity of what we're doing ends up being the best thing for the donor or your client.
Absolutely. I want to just remind everybody that you've been listening to Inside the Law on 1160 WOBM AM and on 1310 AM in Monmouth County. You know, we are very you know, thankful for having Robert on today. If you have any questions, if you want to review today's show, again, I encourage you to check out www.novilaw.com. The email address for us is info@novilaw.com. And I just want to focus for the last couple minutes here on the fact that it is getting to be the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, charitable planning, charitable gift planning, a lot of the charitable stuff, to the degree that there are tax deduction benefits that come with it, it's a good time of year to look, to review and see where you are. We're not in the last week of December yet, so you have time to go talk to your accountant, talk to your trust and estate attorney, talk to, you know, the professionals at the nonprofits like Robert, talk to your financial advisor, and see if there's anything you want to do before the end of the year. See if it might be particularly useful this year. We've had a couple of good years in the market, so mm-hmm. there are people out there who have been, thankfully, again, actually earning rather than losing money, so maybe some deductions could be valuable. So now's the time to do that. I want to plug our show 2 weeks from today. It's going to be with attorney Douglas Hull from Novi & Associates, of course. He's going to have on Anthony Calabresi to discuss Medicare changes for 2015. So we're going to stay in the healthcare world, mm-hmm. and we're again going to stay in the, you know, topical to the end of the year world, because it is, you know, that time of year. So tune in if you have any questions on Medicare. You know, obviously a changing area, one that is equally intriguing to our clients, like charitable gift planning. Anything I didn't cover here in the last minute or two, Robert, anything you want to mention?
Just that John Lloyd, our CEO, has been leading our organization for a number of years. And recently, within the past month or so, we announced a couple of different mergers. Raritan Bay Medical Center is going to be joining the Meridian family. Their two hospitals in both Perth Amboy and Old Bridge. And then the big announcement was really the merger with Meridian Health and Hackensack University and Medical Center. So that is just going to be amazing for our donors and our patients here in Monmouth and Ocean County. I think it's going to be exciting
times. Absolutely terrific. Exciting times for Meridian. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. It's been my pleasure hosting you. I want to remind everybody to have a happy Thanksgiving in the upcoming week. Don't eat too much, but certainly enjoy yourself and you know, be thankful for your friends and family at this time. We've really enjoyed having you on, Robert. Thank you for spending the time this Saturday morning.
It's my pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to sit down with you, Robert. Again, if you have any future questions, give us a ring or get in touch with us at www.novilaw.com, or check us out next two Saturdays from now with attorney Douglas Hull talking about Medicare changes. That's it for today. Have a great Saturday out there. Enjoy the warming up that we're going to have the next couple of days. And please stay classy, New Jersey. Thanks for stopping by.